A reading this morning out of the book of Job comes from the second chapter. We pick up after the first chapter in which Job in that chapter was afflicted with great pain and suffering. All that he had was taken, his children gone. And yet in all of this, he remained true and faithful to God. And so we pick up in this second chapter in which Job is about to be afflicted once again. But before we get to that point, we hear a conversation between God and the Satan. And so hear these words. On the day the heavenly beings came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also among them to present himself before the Lord, the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" And Satan answered the Lord, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down on it." The Lord said to the Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one like him on earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil. He still persists in his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him for no reason." Then the Satan answered the Lord, "Skin for skin, all that people have they will give to save their lives. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well, he is in your power. Only spare his life." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and inflicted loathsome sores on Job, from the soles of his foot to the crown of his head. Job took a potsherd in which to scrape himself and sat among the ashes. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still persist in your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as any foolish woman would speak. Shall we receive the good at the hand of God and not receive the bad?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. So this morning, as I mentioned, we continue this series on the book of Job. Last Sunday, if you were with us or if you listened to my sermon, you would have heard that a couple things that I want to remind you of. First of all, the individual that we hear here in this passage is not Satan the devil. It is the Satan, a completely different character in the Bible. This is, Satan is a Hebrew word for accuser. This is a scene in which, as it opens up in verse 2, it also occurred in verse 1, the same scene. In which God, the judge, is speaking to the angels and the Satan, the accuser. And there's a dialogue that we hear of which the Satan is tempting and trying to tell God, "Your children, the ones that you have created, they don't truly love you. Just push them a little bit," he says, "and they will run from you." As verse 2 opened up, we hear this dialogue. Very similar to what takes place in chapter 1. God opens up and he says, "Where have you been? You've arrived, but where have you come from?" And he says, "Well, I went to the earth, the place that you have created, to watch your children. I have gone over the whole of the land, going to and from, looking for those who you say will truly follow you when pain comes." And God turns to the Satan and says, "Okay, here's the deal. I sent Job as an example. And you came to me and incited me to punish him. And yet, look what would have happened. He remained faithful. He stood fast in the face of suffering and pain." Here again was Job, who lost everything he owned, all of his wealth. In that day and age, wealth tied up in his possessions, his animals, those that were to work, whether it was the field or whether it was his home, and also his servants. And then in addition to that, his 10 children. All of this gave Job a position in the society at that time and age of great wealth and power. Everyone saw Job as not just righteous and upright and blameless, but a man with great influence in the world that he lived. He was, as I mentioned last Sunday, not an Israelite. He did not live in Israel. He lived in a land far away. But he still maintained his faith. And when all that was taken away, Job falls to his knees in chapter 1 and still praises God. Not because of the affliction that he's going through, but because he knows God remains even in the midst of that. And so this morning, as we pick up in chapter 2, as Satan has mentioned, I've gone all over, I've seen all this. God turns to him again and he says, listen, have you not considered my servant Job? Did I not show you what his true faith is? That in the face of everything, he still turns away from evil. He still persists. The word integrity that is listed there in the scripture is still that his faith, his character remained strong. Even though you have incited me against him, Job proves that his faith can outwithstand the suffering. And I did all this for no reason, God says. But yet he still wins the day. And then immediately after that, the son says, skin for skin. Turning to God and saying, listen, you know what? Okay, point taken. But the truth is really, when you push your children to the edge, when you inflict pain on themselves, when you threaten their mere existence in this world, that's when they'll truly run. Because it's one thing to worry about possessions. It's one thing to worry about family. But boy, when you inflict suffering and pain on their self, when you threaten to take their life, oh, that's when they'll run from you. That's when they'll give up their faith, he says. Because he says, all that people have, they will give to save their own skin, their own life. They will give it all up in a minute if it means saving themselves. For he says, your children truly are very selfish people. And so he says, then stretch out your hand and touch his bone and flesh, and he will curse you where he stands. In fact, he will curse you directly to his face. Because if you take his life and he appears here, he will curse you for doing so. But God doesn't this time take the bait. He turns to Satan and he says, okay, you want this to happen, that's okay, we'll go down this road. But you're the one that's going to do it. I'll give you my servant Job. You can do with him as you please, except for one very important thing. You must spare his life. Some theologians say that this verse, this section in verse 6, is almost enticing the Satan to say, you must be his savior. You must save his life through all the pain and suffering he shall go through. He says, I'll do this, but that's the only caveat. And Satan agrees. For we read in verse 7 that he leaves the presence of God and he inflicts loathsome sores on Job from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Massive pain on his skin. Not just a few here and there, but covering his body. And Job takes a sharp object in the attempt to clean the wounds, to scrape off these sores. Because they hurt. There's great pain in this. And he knows if he can get them off, the pain may go away, even if attacking these sores will create greater pain. Because he says, I must take care of myself now. And then we read, he goes and sits among the ashes. He sits in the ashes outside the city. This is important because it shows that Job recognizes that these sores are not just painful, but they're embarrassing. And so he goes to sit in the ashes. The ashes would have been really what we might today in our world think of as the city dump or the county dump. That landfill that's just down the road. Job feels so hurting, so painful that he doesn't want others to witness this, so he leaves the city, leaves his home, and goes to sit among the rubbish, the garbage, and says, I shall sit here. And then his wife appears on the scene. And she says to Job, do you still maintain your integrity? Do you still maintain your faith in God? Look at what has happened to you. Look at this pain and suffering you're experiencing. Curse God and die. Now, there's some connections with this section of the book of Job and previous chapters and books in Scripture. We jump all the way back to the 20th chapter of Deuteronomy, in which God promises the people of Israel great pain and suffering if they shall not continue to follow Him. In fact, it even points to the same level of sores that the Satan inflicts on Job that God promises to the people of Israel. He says, if you shall fail to obey this covenant that I shall set before you, he says to them, then you shall suffer. What we read beyond that is that the people of Israel do turn from their ways, and God heals them. And so the Satan uses the same pain and suffering upon Job in a way, in its attempt to really point God and say, see, we reflect this on one, he'll turn from you. He'll turn and run. He'll curse you. And how often for a lot of us in our own lives does that occur? We want to get angry at God for pain. We want to get angry at God for suffering we have to go through. It's not fair, is it? It's not right. No one should suffer. And the truth is, that's a true statement. But suffering exists in this world, and the truth is, I don't know that we can get away from it. We can try. We can run and hide on the highest mountain in the deepest valley, but somehow, some way, it always seems to find us. Job ran from the city to go sit in the ashes, away from people, away from the world, and yet suffering still was with him. And he could have very easily shaken his fist at the heavens and cursed God and said, you did this to me. Or maybe some of us have done. Why did you allow this to happen to me? Why do I have to go through this? But Job doesn't do any of this. Job eventually will praise God. As it says, in all of this, he does not sin with his lips. He responds to his wife and he says, speak as any foolish woman would speak. Shall we receive the good at the hand of God and not receive the bad? He's recognizing that in good, God is there. We celebrate God when good things happen. We praise God when prayers are answered. When miracles occur, we will sing praises to God in all we do. But yet Job says, but what about when bad things occur? What about when those moments when we end up on our knees and we wonder, is God here today? And Job reminds us in this, the second chapter, but he also reminds us in the first chapter, praise God in all, in the good and the bad, because he remains steadfast in the midst of all that. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. That's his covenantal promise with us. And Job says, and remain faithful. As hard and as challenging and as stressful as it might be, remain faithful in our faith with God. Even when tears run down our face, when anger fills our hearts, he says, remain faithful. But there's a truth in all this too. That we are human in nature. And that weakness at times will overcome us. And we'll just want to give up. And we even begin to see Job moving in that direction. Now, I mentioned that in verse 8, Job takes the potsherds and he scrapes himself and he sits among the ashes. He runs. He goes to hide. he demonstrates something that a lot of us at one point or another might do, have done, or will do. That when pain and suffering is afflicted on us, we'll run and hide. It's natural. It's part of life that we do these things. But we must hold firm in our faith. We must do what we can to walk in that faith. Now, verse 11, which we didn't get to this morning, shows something that's very important when we face suffering. Verse 11 says that when Job's three friends heard all of these troubles, they came upon him. Because the truth is, when we face suffering, we don't have to go it alone. We will want to go it alone as Job did. We'll want to run to the ashes and hide and sit. Sit in that pain and that suffering. Because sometimes we feel we deserve it. Sometimes we don't understand it. But we'll want to go there because it's easier. And we don't want others to face that same suffering we're going through. Job did not want his friends, his family, his neighbors to see the sores that were on his skin. They did not want to see the pain in his eyes, the tears running down his face as he scraped sore after sore off his skin. But then we are reminded in verse 11 that his three friends hears all these and comes upon him. They set out from his home to where he was. They go and console and comfort him. They will end up sitting with him for 7 days and seven nights without saying a word, just being in his presence. And it's a reminder for us that when we go through points of our lives when it's a struggle, that God will send to us maybe friends, maybe strangers, maybe unknown individuals to come into our midst to say, here I am to sit with you as you struggle with this time of our life. But know you're not alone. Know that not only is God with you, but so are angels who come into your midst. So are friends and family who will sit with you, who will wrap their arms around you and tell you, maybe without words, that you are still loved. You are loved greatly. Job, in these two chapters, sets up the rest of the book, in which he will then begin to have dialogue with his friends. We will see Job's own resolution of faith begin to sometimes crack, sometimes wander. But in all of this, he will remain faithful. In all of this, even as we begin to watch the suffering upon Job happen, we will know that God remains with him. God loves us. We are all his beloved children. We can run. We can hide our pain. And it's understandable. But we don't have to wonder, will God be with us? We don't have to wonder, will there be those who will come into our midst to help, even if it's just to sit in silence? Because that is how God will respond to suffering. The suffering may not go away right away. The suffering may last and may become very great, and even to a point of unbearable. But yet God remains in it. We see this in Job. For he asks the question of you and me, shall we receive the good at the hand of God and not know that there shall be suffering and pain and badness? He says, don't forget that point. And when that comes, get angry, be upset, hurt. But one, don't do it alone. And two, know that God is at work. Because you are his beloved children who whom he has uniquely created in a broken world, in a fallen world, in which through the cross of Jesus Christ we shall have healing. We shall be redeemed. That his Son who came into this world, blameless and perfect, suffered mightily for us, suffered so greatly that none of us shall ever suffer to that extent, even when we think our own suffering tops that suffering. He went to the cross and showed us that there is victory to be had, that there will be glory in our lives and in the lives of the world because of a tomb that had remained empty, a tomb that he went into, dead and rose from, and in so conquered the great suffering of the world. May that remain in your heart today. May the story of Job and his suffering be a message from God to you, that anytime you struggle, know that God is there. That anytime you hurt, know that God shall send into your midst angels to love you, to allow you to lean on them. And then that one day, the pain shall decease, and you shall feel that same beautiful sunset on your face again. Amen.